believe it.
We are back.
It has been a minute. I mean, how long has it been since we've done this podcast?
A solid 4 years.
Wow. Hey, welcome to the Cross Points Podcast. This is your host, David.
And Aura.
And we are so glad that you're here with us. 4 years.
4 years.
What is up with that? Why has it been so long? What?
I know.
What's the deal?
Why did you stop us?
Hey, I did not stop. I want you to know. Listen, I think you had a baby.
That's correct. I did have a baby. That is true.
So tell us about your baby.
He's now four.
He's now four.
He's a
four-year-old. Okay.
That's what happens in 4 years. Okay. I know.
Why do we wait so long after that? Oh, then we had COVID.
We had COVID.
Mm-hmm. COVID stopped us, yes.
And you didn't want to do anything over COVID. No, you wanted to shut everything down.
We were online, just not, you know, podcast online.
Yeah. And lo and behold, 4 years passed. They ticked by.
I can't believe it. But hey, we had this in the back of our minds.
We did.
For so long. Mm-hmm. And now, this is the moment.
We're back. How exciting. I know you guys missed us so much. It is mutual. And if you're new here, welcome.
So, Aura, I think what we need to do for our studio audience.
Yes.
Right?
Which are many.
Which
numerous.
Is thousands of people out there.
Yes.
I think they need to know who you are. I mean, I'm on stage almost every week.
It's true. Almost too much.
Almost too much. And they hear my stories all the time. So,
yeah.
But we have so many new people in our church mm-hmm. that they probably need to know who you are.
Yes, I'm
so,
a pillar
Aura,
at the church.
Please tell us how long you've been coming to Cross Points and a little bit about your family.
Okay. I have been coming to Cross Points for a little over 9 years.
Now, almost a decade.
Isn't that crazy? Wow. It's hard to believe because I'm only 18. But I've been coming here for
I remember when you were just knee-high to a whippersnapper.
Exactly.
Okay.
My husband grew up coming here.
Yes.
So he's an OG.
Mm.
Full faith Church of Love.
Wow.
Goer.
She's pulling that out.
I know.
Already. I mean, we are not even 2 minutes in the podcast and we got full faith. Okay.
Yeah. So 9 years. Okay. I am from California. Transplant here.
California. Where in California?
Monterey Bay.
Monterey Bay. I have no idea where
been.
Monterey Bay is. Where is that?
It is like 2 hours south of San Francisco.
South of the Bay
it
Area. Okay.
It is so pretty. Every car commercial where they're like driving mm-hmm. along, that's Monterey.
Oh.
That's like Big Sur area.
Okay.
Car area.
Okay.
So cute.
Great.
Recommend
love it. Okay.
And yeah, I've lived here for like...
Yeah.
I don't know.
How did you make your way to Kansas City? I mean, who comes from the beautiful place of Monterey Bay and then come to Kansas City? It was a boy, wasn't it?
I know. I fell in love. What can I say? I fell in love. He's from here.
It's
His
always
family
a boy.
Lives here. He works
mm-hmm.
here.
Okay.
I know. It's all about a boy.
Mm-hmm.
As all romances go, I leave my life behind and come here.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think I've been here for like... Since 2010-ish,
okay.
2011.
2010, 2011,
yep.
Okay, got
yep.
it.
I still say I'm adapting. I'm not into the seasons. I'm not a season yep. girl.
You do not like winter.
Hate it, loathe it. Not into it.
But you like Christmas.
Who doesn't?
I mean, come on. Okay.
I'm a Hallmark girl through
yes.
and through.
Oh, my goodness.
Love it.
Hey, tell us a little bit about your hobbies as well, because you do mm-hmm. have some kind of thing that you do that's kind of taken off a little bit.
Yeah, I am a big reader.
Okay.
Yep, I work with some publishers, so I get to read books early and then... Like,
you get the advanced copies.
Advanced
You're that
copies.
Kind of girl.
I'm that girl.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love it. It's so fun, and I get to basically hype up the books for the authors and the publishers.
Okay, got
tell
it.
You guys if they're good or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I have an Instagram just dedicated to that. And that's
okay.
kind of,
okay.
yeah, kind
well,
of my part-time
I mean,
gig.
We have to drop the name. What's your Instagram?
Yes.
I mean, shout out.
I know,
Once
shout
they get to
out.
Know you, they're going to all be subscribing.
Feel free to follow, you guys.
Right.
It's
what
a
is
huge
it?
Deal. My Week is Booked blog is
My
what it is.
Week is Booked.
Yes.
Ha. So clever.
I know.
Week is
I know.
Booked.
I'm so
I know.
Clever, you guys.
That's why you're
get
on this podcast.
Ready for a ride. I know. And then, yeah, I went to a Oral Roberts University.
Are you?
Eagles.
Man,
yes,
the Eagles.
The Eagles in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That's where my husband and I met.
Got it.
And I got my theology degree there.
Theology.
International community development.
Wow.
And moved here.
I didn't ask you this question behind the scenes.
Oh boy.
So here we go. This happens all the time, just so you know. What was, if you could take away like one thing that you learned from your theology degree, what would you think that you would pull out? I'll kind of stall just a little bit so you kind of think about
it.
Oh, you already got it.
Yeah,
okay, go for it.
I love a generous theology. Is what I'm into. That was my biggest takeaway from
there. Hey, we talked about that in our podcast. You
Back
stole that,
day.
Didn't you?
It is my biggest takeaway. It's not being so intense and in your box about what you believe has to be exactly right and the correct interpretation.
Yeah.
You're just more fluid with allowing other people's theology potentially to also be accurate.
Wait, hold it. That just means that you don't have a real strong feeling for what you really believe.
It means that I'm fine being wrong.
Oh, wow.
But I believe I'm right.
Okay.
I'm fine being wrong.
But you're going to have an open hand.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm still ready.
But you're
going to
hold to traditional, like, Orthodox faith.
Oh, there's some things that are unbreakable.
Okay.
For sure.
I just want to clarify. I know this about you, but
yes.
You would hold to Orthodoxy, but there's a lot more besides that.
There's a ton that people are real intense about.
Wow.
And I'm just like, hey, let's live our lives, folks. Yes. We'll find out when we get to heaven.
Okay.
You know?
Which may kind of be the great segue into what we're going to talk about today.
Yes.
Because this is, you know, not necessarily an Orthodox kind of position that we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
But it's something that everybody, if you're in the Christian world, has heard or thought about at some point.
For sure. We're going to talk about hearing from God.
Wow.
I know.
Hearing from God.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to start with a quick ORU story.
I love to hear the story.
ORU is an intense Pentecostal word of faith vibe.
Yes.
At least when I went there.
Yes.
College.
Right.
And real into hearing from God.
Okay.
So it would not be abnormal to be walking to class and getting stopped because somebody was told by God they needed to pray for you. Not abnormal. Very normal. You'd be like, listen, I'm going to be late. Can you pray later?
Because I'm supposed to be in class.
No, exactly.
Okay.
People would come up to you and say that God told them that you're going to date. You're going to get married. That was not abnormal.
Wow.
It was very normal.
Wow. Now, hold it. Can you, for the folks out there that didn't go to ORU.
Yes.
And what was your experience prior to coming to ORU?
Yeah.
Was this a normal kind of conversation that you might have had in the church that you went to in California about hearing God's voice?
No.
And did it take you back or, you
Yes.
know?
It was wild for me. I did grow up going to church, so it wasn't like I was, you know, just fresh off the street or anything like that.
Uh-huh. You're a church girl.
I was a church girl, but very different. I mean, the vibe at ORU was very much like hear from God, obey, change your life. You know, it was very, that was just the vibe there. It was really more intense. The intensity level there was high for kind of training up Christians to go out, kind of,
Okay.
Christian school. Real different. I was a mind blower when I went there. I had a hard adjustment.
You were walking into a brand new culture.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. I had a hard time there. I'm not gonna lie. But, it was a hard adjustment. Mm-hmm. So yeah, ORU, I think because their goal was to feel like you're in a harbor and you can practice hearing from God there. Like, this is the time to, like, practice and perfect before you go out into the sea, into the world.
The real world.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
So I think that was their thought process behind everything.
Okay,
but,
so let me interrupt you for a second. What was the strangest word that you heard at ORU? Did somebody ever talk to you about some kind of...
Oh, boy.
I'm putting her on the spot right now. She probably wasn't expecting this.
I know.
I mean, we got to get real here.
Okay, well, because the dorms are separated for boys and girls, you would often, like, have a friend who would be like, you would not believe who told me we're going to get married this week. You know, stuff like that.
Okay.
That was not abnormal.
Okay.
It didn't happen to me personally. How rude. but that did happen. But I will say, like, I had a sister who went there with me, and she was sick. And so the weirdest things there would be that people would pray and tell her to be healed.
Okay.
She wouldn't be.
Right.
And then it was a faith issue.
Right. She didn't have enough faith.
Correct.
So it's not my fault for praying.
Totally.
It's your fault for not believing.
Totally. That was the hardest and weirdest thing over and over again. Of just the passion of a Christian to be like, well, it's not my fault. I pray. Like,
because I did my part.
Exactly.
I heard, but you didn't listen and you didn't have enough faith.
Yes. So those were kind of the weirder experiences for sure.
Which are the landmines in this whole conversation.
Yes.
Which is why we wanted to talk about this, because it's an issue that, you know, most churches, evangelical churches in particular, are going to say that God does still speak today.
For sure. Yes. Yes.
And yet it's a landmine of how do we know that we've heard God's voice?
Yes.
Right?
I think it's so hard.
Right.
I'm like, how do you know it's not the voice in your head?
Exactly.
How do you know that?
So let's go back to ORU for you just for a second. So did they ever talk to you about, like, you know, in training, like how to discern what is God's will or his word or what is not?
The overall approach there was that it was better to try to follow it in case it was God.
Right. So better be safe than sorry.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the overall approach to just go ahead and just give it
a
shot.
But you didn't feel like you had any practical, like, teaching about, okay, this is crazy, and this may really be God.
Yeah, and I will say in the theology program, that was maybe the more conservative Christian group.
Got it, okay.
Of, like, they weren't going about, like, we hear from God, we say things. It was that was maybe more a different vibe. It was more of the majority of the kids there who weren't theology students.
Okay, got it.
Who were
just out there kind of doing their thing.
Running amok. Okay. Yes.
running amok, okay.
Yes. Yeah, so I think that was the over thing. You hear and obey. Hear and obey. I think that was like the thing that they tried to impress.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I got it.
Yeah. So, but we were thinking, I was talking to my husband about this, and we were talking about the most told kid story is the Noah story.
Oh.
That's the story you hear the most.
Right. Of course. Every kid knows Noah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that story.
Aren't they coming out with a new movie, Noah?
I hope not.
I think they are. Jennifer, maybe she can fact check it for us.
Yeah,
we've got a fact checker with us now. We didn't have one in the old podcast.
So we have one now.
It's live.
Yes.
I think there's a new movie coming out.
Oh, that last one was
Or maybe it already came out. Did you watch that movie?
I hated it. It was so dark.
Can I tell you something? If I was thinking about Noah and the pressure that he was under, I could see that literally having the depression and the discouragement that he went through.
I know.
I hate to say it, but I kind of understand how that. I mean, that could be. Yeah.
Oh, it was so
dark.
I don't know
how
real. 2024.
Noah 2024.
I'm sorry, 2014. 2014.
No, no, no. There was a 2014. Okay.
We know that one.
That's Russell Crowe.
That's the only
one. Oh, there's another one. Sure. Come on. Look it up. See if there's a Noah 2024 or 23. Yeah. Okay.
So,
anyway.
Noah, you grow up hearing about that story, and you're basically on edge about, like, God's going to tell you to do something really difficult that you don't want to do, that everybody's going to think you're crazy, and you do it. And you're a legend. You're Noah. That's kind of that's what you're kind of telling kids over and over again, this story.
Okay,
So I feel like that's kind of the thing that's deep within us as Christians from a young age. Of like, God's going to tell you to do something crazy.
Yeah.
You're going to hear God. He's going to tell you to do something nuts.
You're going to have to move to Africa.
Yes. Give up all your possessions.
Yes, everything.
You're going to have to do something crazy.
Right.
So you're kind of like bracing, I feel like. As a young Christian, you're like...
This is why I like talking to you, because, you know, I never had that thought talking about Noah when I was a kid. I never thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to.
It's coming.
But I'm sure a lot of kids had that thing. So, which leads me then to, like, the conversation about Noah.
Mm-hmm.
How did Noah hear from God?
Yeah, tell me.
Well, we don't know. I mean, that's the question, right?
Yeah.
And we see this with, like, all the different prophets in the Old Testament as well.
Yes.
It's like Elijah heard God's voice.
Yes.
Elisha hears God's voice.
Yes.
But we don't know how practically they heard God's voice.
Accurate.
Right?
Yes.
We don't know if it was an inner voice.
Mm-hmm.
Did God appear to them?
Burning bush. Multiple burning bushes.
I mean, we knew that.
Yeah.
We knew the burning bush.
I know.
But the other side, we don't know. And there's no, like, description or teaching about how this is supposed to take place.
Is there a time frame? Like, do you feel like when you're reading the Bible, you're like, oh, they heard from God every day? Or you're like, oh, it could have been years in between when they heard from God.
Right, okay, yeah, 100%. So if we look at the arc of the Old Testament, God's not speaking that much.
Yeah.
But we've got, you know, thousands of years crammed in this Old Testament story, so we come away kind of going, God's speaking all the time.
All the time.
Right.
He's constantly, you're like, okay, settle down.
Yeah, right? But in reality, I had pulled up 1 Samuel chapter 3.
Okay.
And if we remember the story of Samuel, I know we're bouncing around a little bit, but here's an Old Testament story about a priest named Eli and his little kid. We don't know. I mean, it's not his kid, but it was a child that was given to the temple. And and it says this in 1 Samuel chapter 3. It says, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare. So the words of God or the word of God was rare in those days.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So in other words, God wasn't speaking
in
this particular time.
Nonstop. Yes.
Right. But then God begins to speak to Samuel, this little kid.
Yes.
And he doesn't even recognize his voice.
Yes. Is that the one he's sleeping and he's like, hey, are you talking to me?
Exactly. Yeah. That's the one. That's exactly the one. Right, right, right. Exactly. So then you think, okay, so here Samuel is in a season where God's word is rare.
Yeah.
Right? And now at this point, God begins to speak to this little kid, not to the high priest, which goes against everything that all the Israelites would have thought, because the high priest represents the people.
Totally.
He's the basically, you know, representing God to everyone else.
Yeah,
and yet God's not speaking to him.
Yeah.
He's speaking to this little kid.
Yes.
And how does God speak to this kid? Is it a dream? We don't, even in this story, we don't really know.
Yeah.
Was he in a dream state, or was God like really like kind of almost shouting at him?
Yes.
We could look and kind of go, well, maybe it was kind of a vocal, loud voice. We don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is really interesting to think if he's dreaming and he wakes up and he thinks someone's talking to him.
Right.
You know, but was he asleep?
Right. Well, it's not super clear.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think about that instance. I think about Elijah, right?
For
and
sure.
You're familiar with that story as well, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's the, you know, he's in front of the cave and he's running away from Jezebel and he's so terrified and you got the fire and the rocks and the earthquake and God's not in those things.
Mm-hmm.
But he's in the gentle whisper.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So what was that?
I know. I think of
was
Adam
it the wind?
Who's like literally walking with God too.
Yeah. Okay.
Like that's bonkers.
Crazy.
Moses with the bush.
Yeah, okay.
Like, those are times where you think, like, they, like, legit, they knew they were talking to God.
Right, right.
That'd be kind of nice, you know?
Wouldn't that be amazing? You know, one day.
Yeah.
We're going back to a garden.
Yeah, true.
But, no, to think that you're walking and talking with God, that's pretty cool.
Yes.
I don't, yeah.
And that, nope, they're not talking about that later on. They're not saying, like, that he continued to talk to people that way.
No,
I mean, he could have.
But he didn't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There was sin in the world, so God has his holy, right?
Yes.
There's this separation that takes place.
Yes, but even the bushes. Why aren't bushes burning and talking right now, you know?
Right, yeah,
He employed it, and he was like, I don't know, not my favorite method.
Or the presence of God coming down into the temple. Here's another one, right?
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily his voice, but it's his presence that's among his people, but he's not necessarily speaking to them.
Totally.
But they can somehow sense it, see it, or feel it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. And then let's make our way into the New Testament. We're just kind of giving you an overall thing, and then we'll kind of dive into it. But then we have the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Now Jesus is among his people.
You're literally walking with God again.
You know, God in flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great.
Yep. Nobody ever has any idea what he's talking about.
Right? Yeah. Jesus says, he says, if you have ears to hear, hear.
Yep.
A lot of people don't have ears to hear.
Accurate.
Right?
Yeah, but they also, I mean, he was hiding his plans also sometimes.
100%.
So
yes, he was speaking in parables on purpose, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but they're literally talking to God, which is pretty cool.
Pretty great. Okay, then he dies, raised again, okay? And then we have the power of the Holy Spirit
that comes.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
That, you know, they say leads and guides you.
Right, right. And this is where it gets really tricky.
Mm-hmm.
Because at this moment, again, we don't have any teaching about how to hear God's voice.
Mm-hmm.
It just says, listen for God's voice. We hear kind of an overarching kind of narrative of the New Testament that God wants to speak to his people.
Yeah.
But we're not given any direction on how to do that.
Yes.
And I think it's as a result of that that we have all this craziness in the church.
Yes, because you err on the side of caution. Was that God? I'm going to do it. I'm just going to pray. I'm just going to go. I'm going to tell that person something crazy.
Right.
I'm going to, you know, or maybe not crazy, you know?
Right, right. So you have this real extreme, right? People, like you said, that kind of your ORU people.
Yeah.
We won't throw them under the bus so much. But people kind of like that who are like, they hear God like every minute.
Regularly.
Right?
Yes.
And constantly. Then some people who are like, God never speaks to me at all.
Yes. Yes.
So
yeah.
does the truth lie somewhere in the middle or?
Yeah.
I don't know.
How often do you think God talks to you?
Mm. That's a great question.
I know. I really put you on the spot. You can think
you
about
did.
It.
You did. No. I would say that I feel like I get like directional like input from God on a pretty like maybe every couple months. I really feel like God is speaking something directly to me about direction.
Okay. So we can say 3 to 6 times a year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe not even that much.
Yeah.
And when I say God speaks to me, I've never heard the audible voice of God.
Yes, to be clear.
Yes, let's
very
be clear. So I would say it's more like an impression.
Yes.
Like I always call it like a loud thought.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that I feel doesn't come from me. And this is where it gets tricky as well, because I tell my sons, I'm like, I feel like hearing God's voice, and they don't like to hear this. It's like more art than science. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That I can't give you a box and say, if you do all these things, then God's going to speak to you. And this is exactly how it's going to feel.
Yes.
It's more art, like that's beauty. That's an impression that you get. That's almost subjective, not objective.
So then do you feel like in the ORU manner, like you had to practice that and make some bad moves to like actually figure out if it's you or if it's God? Like you have to fine tune that.
100%.
You know?
Yeah. And I think God speaks to different people in different ways.
Yeah.
And so each one of us kind of need to learn to lean into those times when God is, whether he's given an impression or a dream or a whatever, that we're like beginning to discern those things. And I think we are going to make mistakes.
Yes, I agree. 100%. We have to have grace for those for sure.
And I have. Lots of times. Yeah. I really felt like God spoke to me about certain things, and then those things didn't happen.
Totally.
And I have to be careful not to get, like, hurt by that.
Cynical.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or like, okay, well, then God doesn't ever speak.
Yes. Like, well, how do I know I've ever heard him? If I'm so sure.
Yep, right.
You
know? Yeah. 100%. I remember, so I had just become the pastor of this church. And I began to take lunch hour, and I would walk around our campus, and I would just pray. Just walk all the way around. And I'd do this for weeks and weeks and weeks at a time. Just pray.
Wow.
Didn't hear God. Just praying. Praying in the spirit. Just praying, asking God to move for the church and all those kind of things. And I was convinced one day that God spoke to me.
Okay.
Okay. And there was property to the west of us that's not developed at all. And I was like, I got the distinct impression that God said, I'm going to give you that land.
Yeah.
And so we checked into it. I had our team check into it. It was 12 acres. It was undeveloped. It was for sale. And I was like, I don't want to pay for it. I didn't feel like God said I was going to pay for it necessarily. And we called them up and we said, hey, we're a church. We're your neighbors. What do you think about donating the property? Because why not, right?
As one does.
As one does in the nonprofit world. You throw it out there. And they came back and they said, hey, you know, this is not a company. It's a family. And we really need to get money out of this. And so, no, we're not going to give you the property.
Yeah, okay.
So then I was like, well, I guess I missed that.
Yeah, and embarrassing because you brought your whole staff in on it.
I not only did I bring my staff on it, I took my elders out on an elders meeting and we prayed over the property. And then, hey, this is how strongly I felt. I took our missionaries out there and we walked some of the property and prayed over it.
Wow.
Wow. So, you know.
Conviction. I like it.
I missed it.
Did you, though?
Well, did I? That's the question. And then, not too long after that, I think maybe 6 months later, we had a guy come to our church, knock on our door, came in, talked to our facilities director, and say, I have got 20 acres to the south of you guys.
Different land.
Different land altogether.
Wow.
Completely different land.
You were praying over the wrong land.
I was praying. Right. See, so this is the idea of art and science.
Yeah.
Like, I think I genuinely heard God.
Yes.
But I didn't hear the specifics right.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I didn't get cynical or upset. I think God blessed my faith. Like, I'm bringing people out there. I'm doing everything I know to do. And God says, that's not really what I want. I've got something else for you.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
And he basically gave us, like, I mean, we paid $100,000 for it, but I mean, that was like, it's, you know, worth over $1 million and that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's crazy.
And yet, we
acquired that property.
Yeah.
And so, do I think I heard God's voice?
Yeah, do you?
1,000% I heard God's voice. I didn't get it quite right. But I heard God's voice. And I think that's what people need to kind of understand, that that you need to have, kind of like your generous theology, you got to have your hands open and kind of be like, man, I'm doing the best that I can.
Yeah.
But don't be so overly confident in the sense that, what if I would have said, the guy that came to my property or the guy that came to the church and said, I've got 20 acres, and I'd say like, nope, I don't want that 20 acres. God told me I was getting this 12 acres instead.
Yes.
I'm waiting for the 12 acres. I don't want your acreage. You're the devil. Get away from me. You're tempting me away from what God has for me.
Yeah.
I think I would have blown
it.
Does that make sense?
So we gotta
have open air. I think we lean in faith and we do everything we know to do, right? I took people out there and we're praying for it, but at the end of the day, I'm like, oh, okay, I missed it. That's okay. And I can humble myself.
Yes.
And God moves in that.
Yeah. I like that story.
Okay. What about you? Do you have any stories like that about you hearing God? I know I'm putting you on the spot,
I know.
Too.
Yeah. No, Phil and I are, that's my husband, are the first house that we tried to buy.
Oh.
We were sure that that was what we should be doing.
Okay.
We're both Christians. We're praying over it. We don't have an uneasy feeling.
Right.
God does not just come and give me direction all the time. So it's not like I'm like waiting. I'm not expecting him to like come and be like, this will be your house. Like, no, I was not expecting that.
Okay, but let me stop you for a second. So mm-hmm. how did you feel like it was your house? Was it peace? Did you feel like God like gave you an impression? Walk me through that.
Yeah, I think we saw a lot of houses. Okay. We liked that house. Yeah. We both agreed on that house. And then we were like, all right, let's just pray and feel okay. like if we feel like we feel uncomfortable, then we'll be like, all right, let's try it. Let's okay. go for it. You know?
So the Christian language would be like you're going to be led with peace.
Yes.
Right? That's exactly. kind of a Christian terminology.
Totally.
I have peace about
God
it in my
God
heart.
God of peace.
Right, which is yes. legit. And I yes. think it's a great thing. But that's how you guys
yes,
felt.
Yes, that's how we were
Everything
like, all right.
Okay. I mean,
and neither of us are like, God told me to do this. Like, that's yeah. just not our personalities,
right,
you know,
right,
or whatever.
Okay.
So we're just like, let's pray. And then we'll go from there. We prayed. We felt fine about it. Bought the house.
Okay.
We're like,
you
okay.
bought the house.
We bought the house.
Oh, okay.
Yay, congratulations.
Yay.
You
did
it.
You heard God's voice. You were
yes.
led with peace.
Maybe 2 weeks later, they're like, oh, the bank that owned that house,
what?
They sold that loan. So you bought it, but they didn't actually own it. So you what? Actually have to buy it from a different bank.
What?
Wild, right?
Never heard that before.
So we're like, okay.
Okay.
Like, sure. That turned into a whole process where it was ended up being on, like, foreclosed on. We needed to bid on the house now online. It's an online auction.
Oh, my
like,
goodness.
All right. Like, okay, sure. Maybe we'll get it for cheaper. This
right.
Play
hey,
along.
This was God.
Yes.
Okay.
We're still praying.
Okay.
No red flag. We felt
right.
fine.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bid on the house online.
Yep.
We got the house.
Hey!
How exciting!
You got the house.
We got
was it
the
less
house.
Than what you had?
It was.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. It was God's plan all
this
along.
Is
this is
amazing.
So crazy.
Okay.
It fell through again.
What are you talking about? It fell through.
I don't remember what happened at that point, but there was some issue with that bank, that whole thing. I think maybe the loan was sold again.
Wow.
And then we were like, was that God? Like, is God closing doors? Like, that's actually what
no,
we were praying
you know what
for.
It was? You didn't have enough faith.
No, was,
you did
have
not
enough.
Have enough faith. That's your problem.
Dang it.
You missed the house because you were in a...
It haunts me.
It haunts you to this day.
So we didn't get
so
the house.
So you really didn't get the house.
We decided, I guess that's God shutting
okay.
doors.
Right, okay.
Which is something we pray for. We're like, please make it really obvious.
I think that's good, too.
That was, yeah. In our opinion, I think what he was doing,
okay.
making it really obvious. We didn't get the house. We got a different house. But it's an example for us that we talk about a lot of that we thought we were doing what we were
yeah,
supposed to be doing. We were
yeah.
being prayerful. It was a huge monetary thing.
Okay.
So
yep. Big investment.
If there's ever a time that you're like praying to God, it's when you're gonna like give a bunch of money. You know, you're like, oh my gosh, should I do this? You know, like that's the times when you're like, he cares. This matters.
This matters.
Yeah, and we were wrong.
Wow. Okay.
So
you admit it.
We were totally wrong.
Okay.
And we think that all the time. We think we felt confident.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
In my mind, it's almost a version of saying, you never know.
Right.
You know, you
right.
don't know until you know. And then you do one and you do get it right.
Yeah.
And you're like, I knew it.
I knew it all along. Okay. So let me ask you the question then. So did, as a result of like not hearing it right, were mm-hmm. you, did you get cynical about, okay, well, I'm not hearing God. Maybe I don't, maybe this whole mm-hmm. thing is just like imagination. I get that a lot from people in the mm-hmm. church that like, I just think it's my own mind. It's my own imagination of things.
Yeah.
And how can I discern between what's imagination and my own mind and mm-hmm. really what's God?
Yeah.
In that moment for you guys.
Yeah. I think it's really interesting. I wonder how often God talks for what we want him to be involved in.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. So I think that's a question of like, okay, well, maybe I'm praying about things that he doesn't really care about, you know?
And care about in the sense that you could do whatever you want. It's
yes.
He's going to be fine with either way.
Yes.
If you got that house or another house,
he's
just fine with either way.
It's not changing my life or my path, with him. So sometimes I think like, well, maybe he's legitimately not saying anything and I'm just like digging. I'm like, please say something. I'm okay. You know, I don't know. And then I do think that it made me think of maybe other ways I should be trying to hear him other than just like pray and listen. Maybe that doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
Maybe it could, not to say that it won't ever,
right.
but maybe I hear more from him from reading the Bible. Like
right.
maybe I need to like more lean into that more. You know, I feel very led when I read the Bible.
Right.
So, I think I went down more of that path of being like, all right, well,
okay.
I might not just be somebody who's like going to sit in a closet and hear God. I don't know. You
well,
know?
Right. I guess that's the extreme side. Like I had this girl that woman that I had connected. She went to church here. And we had multiple conversations. This is before I was lead pastor. I was just an associate pastor at the time. But she would literally get up in the morning and ask God what she should wear.
Mm-hmm.
and she would tell me that God speaks to her about what she should wear.
He does.
Yep, yep.
Oh.
And what she should eat.
Wow.
Yep, what she should not eat, and then where she should go. I mean, and every moment of her day
was talking to God.
Literally talking to God, trying to hear him to do what he was telling
That's
her to
really
do.
That's really interesting that she, and she felt strongly that she was hearing him.
100%.
Intrigued.
Now, her life was a mess. It
I'm
was
not
a
shocked.
Mess.
I'm not
right.
shocked.
Yeah, right. It was. Yeah, and it goes to the point that God doesn't want us to be a robot.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't form and fashion you so that you have to, every moment of every day, get approval from him to do whatever it is that you feel like you need to do during the day.
Yeah.
I would not want my kids to do that.
I
have 18-year-old twin boys, mm-hmm. and if they asked me every month, Dad, what should I wear? Dad, what should I eat today?
So my children currently do.
Yeah, you're going to get out of that phase. Yeah. It's going to be wonderful. But that would be awful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think God's the same way. I mean, he's a good father, and he wants us to make those decisions.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is interesting. You wonder what matters to him.
Yeah.
What are you bothering him? You know, like, you do think about those things. Like, does he care about that?
Yeah.
Like, how much does he care about the weather?
Right.
Like, is he, you know, how much does he care about that? It is just really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I wonder if we can get practical now, maybe as we kind of bring this to a close.
Yeah.
I wonder, like, if we can talk to everyone out there, because the whole idea is, okay, how then do we really hear God? Because if we don't really see it in Scripture, this is what we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really see any kind of teaching on it. Then what we've experienced so far, what are ways in which we can kind of determine how we hear God's voice? So that's what I would ask you.
Okay.
How do you, and then I'll explain kind of what I think too, but how is it that you hear God?
Yes. Well, first of all, there are times when I've prayed and had a very specific urging or even a peace that I like, believe in, that's me hearing from God. There are times when that has occurred, but I think in the day-to-day, it's the living, breathing Word of God.
Okay, right.
So for me, it's the Bible.
For you, it's Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And when you read Scripture, do you feel like God is speaking to you beyond the text, or is it just in the text itself and you're feeling comforted by what you read or challenged by what you read?
Yeah, good question.
Yeah.
I'm going to say both.
Okay.
I like to do like a Bible study where I'm like actually like learning theology and that to me like feeds me quite a bit, makes me feel closer to God in that sense. And then also like just read it. Like if I'm reading the Psalms, for instance, or something like that, just reading or sometimes the Gospels where I just feel like I'm learning, but I'm encouraged.
Yeah. So you're almost personalizing some of it, would you say?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So some I'm reading contextually, and that's more like the theology, and I feel like that's feeding me. And some is just like, this is encouraging. This is great. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And I couldn't agree more. I think it's hard for us to hear God's voice if we're not reading his word.
Yeah.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
That we need to be people of the word,
mm-hmm.
no question. And that anything that we hear from God has to align with Scripture.
Yeah.
If it's not in accordance with Scripture or is contrary to Scripture, then that's your own mind or it's, you know, an influence from the enemy.
Yes.
For sure. Okay. So let's start with that.
Yes.
Right?
But I will say it's hard because most people can bend Scripture to their opinion.
Yeah.
And it does make it hard to troubleshoot that, you know?
That's true. I think I would agree with that as well. Although, you know, some people have said some kind of crazy things. Like, you know, maybe they feel like they're a prophet or they're a whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Not a prophet. Let's not say prophet, but let's say they're involved in the end times. I had this guy a long time ago who was like, you know what? I'm the guy in Revelation that's blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, yeah, no, you're not.
You need some real characters.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it aligned with Scripture.
Yeah.
No one knows who that person is. But I was like, you're not that guy.
You know? I feel pretty good about this. I feel pretty confident about that.
But in general, I agree with what you're saying. So, the importance of the word, that we've got to be people of the word so that we can know, you know, if we know God's voice because we read his word.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think the other thing for me that's really huge, and I tell this to my sons as well. I was actually having a conversation with my son Ethan yesterday, and he said, how do you hear God's voice? And I said, a big part of it is that we don't get quiet enough. There's so much noise that we're constantly hearing voices from everywhere else except for trying to be intentional to hear what God is speaking to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so just get quiet. And the problem is that getting quiet in today's world is really, really hard.
So hard.
I mean, it's so hard to just get quiet.
Yeah.
And I remember talking with Ethan when he was 12 and saying, hey, I just want you to get quiet for a while. And he's like, oh, that's so easy to do, blah, 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 blah. You know, his 12-year-old brain, he was fine, right?
Yeah.
And now at 18, I said, you know, I just want you to get alone and be quiet for like a minute or two. And he's like, that's so hard.
It is hard.
So hard.
I meditate. Okay. Breath work.
Yeah.
And something that they teach you a lot is like, it's okay that your brain just wandered away.
Yep.
Come back to the breath.
Correct.
Like, it's fine. You're going to do that. And I think that has helped me in quiet time with God.
That's right.
Like, it's okay that I wandered. Just come back.
That's right.
You know?
Our brains are going to do that. And because of all the noise that we have, it is like always our brain is going to go to those things.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, but if you can be and hold to it for a while,
mm-hmm.
you'll come back
just
and
come
you'll
back.
Get quiet and you'll be able to center yourself in the sense of centering yourself on really trying to hear what God has to say. And then again, not expecting necessarily a loud voice, right?
Yes.
I call it a loud thought, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is those things? And if it's drawing you close to God or propelling you to love others,
mm-hmm.
I think that's God speaking to you and to not discount those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think like, well, often when I'm seeking God, I'm seeking peace, I'm seeking joy, I'm seeking something.
That's right.
And that could be his version of speaking to you, and that
100%.
Is granting that of like, okay, you had 3 minutes of peace, you had 3 minutes of calm, you know.
That's good.
In the hectic
mom
life,
that's really
you
good.
Know,
yeah.
it's necessity. Mm-hmm. But
but it's important because Jesus says, my sheep hear me and they know my voice.
Yeah.
So that's clear. I think that's in John 10. But it's like, we do need to hear God's voice.
And
we do need to quiet ourselves, and we do need to practice. We just need to be take the time to do it.
I wonder if it'd be good to like do... Like, you're not going to start out running a marathon. Like,
right.
maybe just set a one-minute timer.
100%.
And then a two-minute timer. Just kind of work up to 5 minutes. See if you can get 5 minutes by the end of the month.
That's exactly what I told Ethan. I said,
oh, really?
Start with a minute and then add a minute, you know, every day.
Yeah.
So, and one of the challenges I've had is try to do 7 minutes of silence for 7 days.
Love that.
And see how that works for you. So maybe that's the challenge that we might end with is 7 minutes of silence every day this week and see how well you can do with that and center yourself so that you're trying to hear what God might have to speak to you. You might just be surprised. He may speak to you.
Yeah. And I think also it'd be interesting. You should ask yourself and ask people around you, like, how often have you heard from God? I think that would really help with the thief of comparison and wondering how if other people are hearing from God more than you. And I think it could be helpful.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, Aura, we did it.
We did it.
Good job. Okay, we did it. First podcast down. We've got a lot more to come.
We can't wait to go back on this ride with you guys. And if you want to ask us something specific or you want us to talk about something, you can email us at
podcast@crosspointschurch.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts, your comments, and if you have any questions or anything you want us to talk about.
Bye.
Bye.